Acts chapter 20. We begin reading at verse 13. This is part of Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. I want us to note especially the last verse we'll be reading this morning, and that's the verse about testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel of God's grace. Acts chapter 20 from verse 13. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Athos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Athos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." And the reading there at verse 24. Do keep your Bibles open at this passage, so we'll be looking at some other passages as well. This is the theme. The gospel. How it is described. The gospel. What is it essentially about? Over these next few weeks, Lord willing, as we lead up to our communion season, I thought it would be good to focus the message of God's word on the theme of the gospel. It is, after all, one of the key terms in the Christian faith, isn't it? Think about it. Isn't this a key term in Christianity? As Christians, we proclaim the gospel. As Christians, we believe the gospel. It's so central to everything that the Christian church is to be all about. What exactly is the gospel? The term itself, the Greek word, is used some 99 times, depending on the translation you use, either as a noun or as a verb or in its verbal form. Some 99 times in the New Testament. The Greek word, if I may give it to you, is one you maybe have heard of before. It's euangelion. And that first little part of it, the EU, we find in English. For example, in the word eulogy, which talks about giving a fine speech about someone. The idea of that little bit is something that's good, something that's pleasant. The second part of the word, angelion, means message. For example, angelos, angel, is messenger. So euangelion means the good message, or the good news, or as it's come down to us in English, the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. First and foremost, it is good news. And that's something we want to really focus on here this morning. Five things then, five ways in which this good news is described, or this gospel is described. Five ways. First, the gospel about Jesus Christ, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, to put it literally. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, admittedly, when Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, he calls it my gospel. And the reason he does that, and he does it elsewhere as well, is because he has been entrusted with the message. And he identifies himself so closely with the message of the gospel that he calls it my gospel. But the gospel doesn't really belong to Paul. It certainly doesn't originate with Paul. And it's certainly not about Paul. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel about Jesus Christ. Listen to the opening words of the Gospel of Mark that sets this down very, very clearly. Here's the very opening line of Mark's gospel. And what does Mark say that his message is going to be about? The beginning of the good news, or the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the gospel then centers upon, focuses our attention upon, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Indeed, there is a lot of emphasis in the New Testament on the fact that the focus is not just on Jesus Christ, but on him as the Son of God, the unique Son of God. Someone very unique and very special, that there's no one else like him. Listen to these two other references that bring this home to us. Romans 1 and verse 9. God, Paul says, God whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son. The gospel of his Son. Not just the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel of God's Son. Or likewise we have here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Where Paul is talking about how the eyes of unbelievers are blinded, that there's a veil over their eyes so they cannot see and understand the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So what's the gospel all about? If you and I are going to speak about the gospel, proclaim the gospel, then first and foremost, it's about Jesus Christ. We must never lose sight of that. You know, it's a remarkable fact, and I hope I haven't been guilty of it, but I couldn't say I've never been guilty of it, that people can preach a Christian message, and there's no mention, maybe, of Jesus Christ. There's mention of many other good things, important things, but it's very, very sad when we can come across a sermon that is what you might call, you might call it a Christless sermon. A sermon that makes no reference whatsoever to the one who stands at the very heart and center of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So let's never lose sight of this. Let's aim, when we speak about the gospel, to tell men and women about the great, great Saviour who is at the heart of it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the gospel about Jesus Christ. The second of the five things that I want to mention in relation to the gospel is this, of course. It is the gospel of salvation. Note the passage on the cover of the order of service, the verse for the week. That verse from Isaiah 52, which is quoted in the New Testament, applied to the gospel. And there, Isaiah 52, verse 7, it's talking about those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. In the context there of Isaiah, it was speaking about deliverance salvation from the exile, the Babylonian exile, a terrible experience for the covenant people of God. And the good news was, the good news that has been proclaimed is, they were going to be saved and delivered from this terrible exile. But that's pointing forward, of course, to a much more wonderful act of salvation. The salvation that comes to lost sinners in and through Jesus Christ, the Saviour. See here the words of Ephesians 1 and verse 13. See how the gospel is described here. It's referring to the fact that the believers in Ephesus had been included in Christ. It says you were included in Christ. When you heard the word of truth, note how the gospel is described. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. Of your salvation. Here's something that makes the gospel really, really good news that you'd want to tell people about. For it talks about us being saved, salvation. Saved from what? Saved from the very worst of things. Remember years ago, I may have told you about this before because it's I can never forget it. There was a tract produced by a man in Dublin called Mickey Walker was his name. And he produced a tract with this title, The Good News is So Good Because the Bad News is So Bad. The bad news is that by nature we are lost sinners, heading for eternal loss and damnation. That's very, very bad news. If you're in that situation today, you're in a very bad situation, the worst of all situations. But the good news is that makes the good news so, so good is that there is a way of being saved. Saved from the coming wrath. Saved from hell. Rescued from our sins. What we're saved from. And it's so good news as well, isn't it? Because what are we saved unto? If you're a Christian today, what have you been saved unto? Well, you've been saved out of perishing. But you've been saved unto eternal life. Blessings that are not just to be experienced now, but spiritual blessings that will be experienced forever and in all their fullness in the presence of your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of salvation. Note in this verse here in Ephesians 1:13, it says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What does that tell us? Surely that tells you and I, people need to hear this good news. If they're going to be saved, they need to hear about it. Now, of course, people often say we live in a province in Northern Ireland. That is quite a churchy province. There are lots of churches in the Mavali. In any town you'll go into here in Ulster, there are lots of churches, contrast to other places you might go. And many of them do preach the gospel. Happily, many of them still do that. But are there not still, would you say, and increasingly, are there not many people even round about you who have heard little or nothing of the true gospel of Jesus Christ? And therefore, they maybe don't realise in the first place that they need to be saved. And they certainly don't know how important it is to be saved. And they certainly don't know how to be saved. Here is good news that people need to hear. We need to constantly speak about. Because it is the gospel of salvation for lost and needy sinners. Two things so far then we have seen. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he is Savior. It is the gospel of salvation, for it saves people. Thirdly, it is described in the New Testament this way, and that's why I read from this passage a little while ago. It is described as the gospel of God's grace, or the good news of God's grace. Listen here to the words of Acts 20:24. Here's what Paul writes about his ministry. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying or bearing witness to the good news of God's grace. The good news of God's grace. What does this tell us about the gospel? About the good news? Well, it tells us wonderfully that it's good news for undeserving and unworthy people. Who are not saved by our own merits, our own efforts. We could never be saved by them. We're saved by the grace of God. Ephesians tells us this. It is by grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that God has raised up with Christ in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The incomparable riches of his grace. Or as John Newton, you'll know, as John Newton put it so memorably, amazing grace. Amazing grace that can save a wretch like you and me. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher of the gospel, once wrote this. I bless my Lord and Master. He has given me a gospel which I can take to dead sinners. A gospel which is available for the vilest of the vile. A gospel which is available for the vilest of the vile. Because it's not by good works. Because none of us are good. And can even save the vilest of the vile, which Paul was very much in his own past when he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. Good news then, the gospel, for the unworthy and the undeserving. No place in any of us as Christians who have believed the gospel, no place for pride or boasting or self-congratulation. For you and I must say, if we're Christians today, by the grace of God, I have believed the gospel, the good news. And in fact, we're saved by the gospel and by grace from the very beginning to the very end. That's why we often conclude our worship services with the benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God not only saves us in the beginning. The grace of God sustains you and I. The grace of God keeps us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of God's grace for unworthy people such as you and me. Isn't this good news? Fourthly, in the New Testament, the gospel is described as the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Did you notice again back there in Isaiah 52 and verse 7? Isaiah 52 and verse 7. When the messenger were coming proclaiming the good tidings, one of the things that they said was that they were proclaiming peace. They were proclaiming shalom, as it is in the Hebrew. They were proclaiming peace. And therefore it's no surprise to find in the New Testament the following reference in Ephesians 6, in the context of the spiritual warfare in which we're engaged, that's difficult and it's hard and it's dangerous and it's tough, and we need to have the armour of God on us. One aspect of this armour is described here in verses 14 and 15. Stand firm then, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Again, how appropriate when we think of Jesus. Isn't it so appropriate? How is Jesus spoken of in the prophecy of Isaiah? The Prince of Peace. What does the book of Ephesians tell us about him? He himself is our peace. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how this is good news?
By nature and by practice,
we are enemies of God. Don't like to think of ourselves that way. But that's essentially what we are. Rebels against his kingdom.
By no means at peace with him. But through Jesus Christ and his precious blood shed in our behalf. The wonderful thing is that enemies and rebels of God may be brought into a position of reconciliation with him. Those who are alienated and afar off may be brought near through the gospel of peace. It's interesting here that it refers to having our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace to go out, to go forward with this great message. The world values peace, doesn't it?
The world does value peace. Our world and our society does place a high premium on peace.
How much happiness there is in our province that, relatively speaking, we are now at peace when we were not at peace for so long.
Our world awards every year, I believe, the Nobel Prize for Peace. There have been some dubious recipients of it, I believe, but they do award the Nobel Prize for Peace. It's something that is valued by mankind. And yet how much men and women are in need of the greatest peace of all. And that's to be at peace with a holy God. And here's the good news of the gospel. Through Jesus Christ and his atoning death, a rebellious sinner may be accepted and reconciled to Almighty God and to know that peace that passes all understanding. Four things so far then about the gospel. The gospel is first and foremost, supremely, about Jesus Christ. The gospel is about salvation, saving us from our sins. The gospel is the gospel of God's grace, good news for the utterly unworthy. The gospel is the gospel of peace, bringing reconciliation between man and God. Fifthly and lastly this morning, the gospel is also described in this way. Maybe one we mightn't think about right away. The gospel of the kingdom. It is called the gospel of the kingdom. Listen to Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Our Lord Jesus says this. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. Even there, in, again, Isaiah, did you notice how that verse in Isaiah 52, verse 7 ended? I didn't put it in the order of service, it was a bit too long. But how did it end? It ended by saying, Isaiah 52, verse 7, to say to Zion, your God reigns. Saying to Zion, your God reigns. Whenever John the Baptist came at the early beginning of the New Testament, as recorded in Matthew 3, verse 2, what was his message? His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the gospel points men and women to King Jesus, and calls upon them, indeed commands them, to submit to him as King and Lord of their lives. And through faith in him, they are brought into the glorious kingdom of God. What a blessing that is. Isn't that good news? Isn't it? Isn't it good news that through the gospel, a sinner can be brought out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of heaven? Here again, Colossians 1, 13 and 14 describes this blessing for us. How thankful we should be to the Father, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Rescued from the dominion of darkness. And brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. You see, the gospel message is not just an invitation. It is a gracious invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But it's more than an invitation. It is a command from God the Lord and God the King to lost sinners to cease their resistance to God, to stop hiding or trying to run away from him, but to give to him the allegiance and the loyalty and the devotion of their hearts. Let me ask you this morning, have you responded to the gospel of the kingdom? Have you acknowledged the identity and the claims of King Jesus? Have you turned away from your sin? And have you submitted to him as your Lord and King? May it be so. For this is at the heart of the good news of the gospel. It is the gospel of the kingdom, which is to be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Five descriptions of the gospel we have seen, therefore. The gospel is good news. Good news about Jesus Christ. Good news that there is a way to be saved. Good news of God's grace. Good news of peace with God. Good news of being brought into the kingdom of God and all the blessings and benefits that that brings. What is the main lesson then? What's the main lesson I want you to go away with today? Well, it is simply this. It's simply this. Never lose sight of the fact that the gospel is the best news that anyone can ever hear. The very best news of all. And therefore, won't you look for every opportunity to make it known to those around you. How delighted we are, aren't we, to share any form of good news with people? I think we are, aren't we? I know there are some people who take some kind of perverted delight in bringing bad news and depressing people. The bad news has to be told. It shouldn't be hidden away. But don't we take a delight, and shouldn't we take a delight in sharing good news? Things like this, for example. They got the job. The job has been acquired. This new job, they've got it. Didn't expect to, maybe, but they've got it. Did you hear that? Good news. Good news. The person who went to the hospital for the checkup, the health check showed that they were clear of that disease that they feared that they might have. Good news. He passed the exam with flying colours. He'd been a bit worried about it. He wasn't sure he'd done that well. But I can tell you the good news. He's done very well. He's getting to college. He's going to university. He's got the course he wants. Good news. A child has been born. And the child is safe. And the child is well. And the mother is well. And the family are rejoicing. Let's tell that good news. Good news. The long wait is over. That'd be good news to hear. Someone's been waiting for a long time for something. Good news, that long wait is over. The time has finally come. Wouldn't you want to tell that good news to others? But although all those kinds of news are, they're good news, they should be told, and they should be spread and made known, they actually pale into insignificance in comparison to the gospel, which is the very best news of all that any human being can ever hear and can ever believe. Won't you do more? Won't you take every opportunity to seek to speak to the person near you, beside you, whom you interact with, who has not yet come to believe this good news? Remember this. The book of Romans tells us
as indeed the prophecy of Isaiah tells us. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And there's no better thing to be heard than the good news of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ that saves lost sinners, brings them peace with God, and brings them into the kingdom of God. Look for every opportunity to make this good news known, and how beautiful will be your feet as a bringer of such good news. May the Lord spur us on to be faithful, eager, enthusiastic bringers of the good news of the gospel to needy lost people.